Welcome, church family. Good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord that you're with us today. Every morning is a good morning to praise the Lord, no matter where we're at. You know, in Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118 is a small section, among a small section of psalms that were commonly sung as hymns back in Jesus' day. And this is a psalm that could have been sung during the Last Supper. And just think about that for a minute. The verse, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Jesus saying the very living word of God and recognizing that he was about ready to be hung on a cross. So no matter what, we can rejoice in the day that we have. We rejoice this morning because once again, in the body, we are present together and we worship together. But no matter what has been going on or will happen this coming week, let's rejoice and be glad in what the Lord is doing. Let's bow our head for a minute and consider what God will do today. Thank you, Father. You brought us together again to worship. Our worship is centered upon the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, which opens the door for our worship to be true and pure and holy in your sight. Thank you so much for the invitation to receive your salvation and then to live it out and to live out both our salvation and our sanctification today. Help us to be true to you in heart and mind and soul. Lift our eyes up to the heavens this morning as we worship. It's about you and not about us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you. We rejoice in you this morning, Father. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's stand this morning. Let's sing, "How Great is Our God." Thank you. greatly to be praised. May our attention be on you and all your glory this morning. It's only a matter of time and space that separates us from you in the body and soul in heaven. And that time is coming. We look forward to being with you, Lord. Look forward to being in your presence. Until then, in every way possible, we can still praise you fully here in this body here on earth. Help us to do that well this morning and to show our love to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. How sweet Jesus' love is, how deep it is that he in heavens above would know one day he would come down to save us from our sin. Obedient to the Father for his glory, and what love We love him only because he first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your son. Let's stand and sing again, please. Number 512 in your hymn book. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 4.
Just sung of your sovereign control day by day and with each passing moment. We can trust you, for you have promised that you would do that which is right. You'd work all things together for good. And Father, I pray that each day we would indeed grow in our faith as we would look to you, the God of the universe, the God who has created it all, the God who has sent his Son to die for us so that we might have eternal life and spend that eternity with you. And Father, may we indeed recognize that our lives are in your hands, that the number of our days has been determined by you, and that we can indeed recognize that you will have us here as long as you desire to give us opportunities to minister for you. And I pray that we would buy up those opportunities as they are laid out before us day by day. Father, as we think of our days being numbered, we would just be reminded this morning and pray for Nancy Faria, who we've gotten word this morning that she may be seeing her Savior yet today. We just ask that you would be with the family, encourage them at this time. And Father, though she may be unresponsive to us, she is certainly not unresponsive to you. And I pray that you would work in her life as you see fit, and that you would bring encouragement to the family at this time. Thank you for her example in our midst for many years. We just pray at this time that you would be glorified, whether it be by life or by death. And Father, we are grateful this morning that we have Steve and Debbie Douglas with us. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you for their example. We'd ask, Father, that as they minister in our midst today, that we might receive a blessing and that we might be a blessing to them. Thank you for their ministry in Spanish-speaking South America, and specifically in Peru as well. And we just ask, Father, that you would continue to give them wisdom in that ministry as you would guide them in that which you would have them to do. Again, Father, we are grateful for our time together this morning. We recognize that we are able to be here, and we enjoy the freedoms that we do. And once again, we'd be remiss to not pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan. As we see the turmoil and the chaos there, we see, Father, believers being persecuted, and we just ask that you would encourage them. They even this day, also recognize that you are in control, that you are the sovereign one day by day and with each passing moment. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
There's a place.
Thank you, girls. Last week in our bulletin, we had an insert concerning a survey as it relates to our service times. And if you haven't filled one of those surveys out yet, we would encourage you to go back to the connection corner. There's some extra surveys back there. Just fill it out. Do you like the morning service at 9:30 and Sunday school after, or would you rather we go back to what we used to do, having Sunday school at 9:45 and 11 o'clock? We're just asking for your preference. But if it's something that you honestly can't make it at 9:30 or you can't make it at 11 o'clock, let us know that. If it's just your preference, just mark it as such. But if it's something you actually can't do otherwise, let us know that as well. We're just trying to get a handle on that and make our decisions accordingly. So if you could fill that out, we'd appreciate it. If you already filled one out, don't fill a second one out. No stuffing the ballot or anything here. Just one per person. Also, as we mentioned, the Connection Corner, if you're visiting with us today or if you've been here the last couple of weeks and you haven't stopped by our Connection Corner, please do so. We have a gift for you and just some information concerning the church. We'd like to get to know you, so please stop by. We'd appreciate that very much.
We are so thankful to see not only our guests, but some of you have been coming back for the last few months. First time Sunday a while ago, and we're noticing. Just want you to know we are noticing, and it is a blessing to us. One thing that's been encouraging to your pastors and your deacons and leaders in this church has been your faces coming the last several months. So thank you, new ones, for being a part of us. Let's stand and sing. We have a task unfinished. It's to evangelize. As long as we live, it'll always be our task, but it'll be our privilege to witness not only here in our county, but to the world.
Our knees, our knees.
I mentioned before, we have the privilege of having Steve and Debbie Douglas with us this morning. If you're newer to the church, you've only been here for the last year or two, they're strangers to you, but for us old-timers, they're just one of us. Steve is the regional director of Spanish-speaking South America for ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. Debbie works alongside of him tirelessly. In fact, I'll just say it right out. If Steve didn't have Debbie, he couldn't do half of what he does.
Amen.
That's true of any minister,
Amen.
Any pastor, but we are very grateful for Steve and Debbie both. Steve grew up in our church here, and he and I were good friends as we grew up together. We were roommates together at Bible college, and so we have had him in our midst ever since he was a baby. But he met Debbie at Bible college. They married. Debbie was a missionary kid from Peru. And so God called Steve and Debbie down to Peru. And now to this ministry of regional director of Spanish-speaking South America. They still live in Peru, minister there, but have a broader ministry as well to Spanish-speaking South America. So Steve's coming this morning to preach. And then this evening, they'll be sharing just their ministry and what God is doing in and through them.
Good morning. It is always a wonderful blessing for Debbie and I to be here with our IBC family. Worship and fellowship together, sharing some activities, connect with you. It's always a wonderful blessing, wonderful blessing. Thank you for your investment in our lives and ministries over these years. Recently completed in Peru, 36 years, and you have been with us from the very beginning. Thank you for investing in our lives and in our ministries in Arequipa, Peru, around Spanish South America. Your prayers, your financial gifts. What an incredible investment you have placed in us. We pray that you're encouraged. In these years that we've been there, we've seen the church movement grow from zero Baptist churches to over 70 today, have a Bible college, have a camp ministry, have a pastor's fellowship, pastor's wives fellowship. We're trying to get a prenatal and family counseling center off the ground with teammates and local partners there. Many wonderful things, and this is part of the investment that you have had in our life through prayers and finances. May you be encouraged. We pray that God will bless you and reward you for this investment. We continue on there. Traveled up from Peru to Florida about a week ago. I was spending a little bit of time with Stephanie. We have two daughters. Our oldest daughter, Nicole, is married to a Peruvian pastor there in Arequipa, Paul Vargas. He's the lead pastor of New Life Baptist Church, which is the latest church that we were able to establish with God's help. And so Paul is working hard with the pastoral team in the church there. Paul and Nicole and the two children send their greetings. And they're doing well there in Arequipa, although still under some COVID restrictions. Our youngest daughter, Stephanie, lives in Florida with her roommate, Rachel. Rachel used to be a missionary with ABWE in Peru, and God led her off the page, and she connected up with Stephanie again. They send their greetings, and they appreciate your prayers. Stephanie would appreciate your prayers. She just had an eye surgery operation. And she's in a recovery stage, and we're just praying for God's mercy that it will turn out well. So what an encouragement it would be that we could share with Nicole and Paul and Stephanie that our family here is praying for them. So thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. As we go between Spanish and English, expressions, sayings catch my attention, and I listen to them and I look at them and think, how would I explain that to a Spanish-speaking person when I don't even know the origin of some of these sayings? It's just something that's fascinating to me. Even Stephen, that one I like. I'm not sure what it means, but even Stephen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Which, of course, is false. That's not a true saying. It's a defense mechanism. But words cut to our heart. And that's a tough one. I haven't seen you in a coon's age. Have you seen any recent government studies on the average lifespan of an overgrown rodent? And are they referring to a Pennsylvania raccoon or West Virginia, or a male or a female? And it's curious that we can send a probe to Mars, but we still measure time by the lifespan of a raccoon. Six of one and half a dozen of another. That sounds the same to me. Between a rock and a hard place. Don used that phrase several times a few Sundays ago talking about Jacob. We are able to join this service live in Arequipa. Peru's an hour behind you, and so we can join this service live in Peru, and then we go into our New Life Baptist Church service, which is still online. And Don, a couple weeks ago, was talking about Jacob, and he's between a rock and a hard place. In Spanish, that same saying is, you're between a wall and a sword. Two in the hand is better than one in the bush. Two what? And what about it? What are you doing in the bushes anyways? I don't know. Burning the candle at both ends. It's not over till the fat lady sings. What does singing... Never mind. Man, he really opened a can of worms with that topic. Can of worms? I pulled some strings, but I got it done. I pulled some strings, but I got it done. Running around like a chicken with its head cut off. I don't even want to really dwell on that image. Someone does things, and I don't do things willy-nilly. Okay, I know a willy, but I don't know what a nilly is. Explain this to Spanish-speaking people, these expressions, these sayings. Here's one that Debbie got from her dad. Something about to boot. Like, I checked 3 stores for that item, and I couldn't even find it on Amazon to boot. I don't really get that one, but okay. As long as I'm not the recipient of the to booting, I'm okay with it, but I don't really get that one. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, that's just cruel. Don't put that before me on my birthday and then tell me I can't eat it. Take the bull by the horns. Do you have a death wish? He kicked the bucket. He bought the farm. Referring to someone died. I don't kick buckets. I kick tires. I kick balls. I don't kick buckets, which I guess by this saying is while I'm still here, right? Because I didn't kick the bucket. He bought the farm. You have more shoes, hats, tools, purses than you can shake a stick at. So why do we shake a stick at multiple and unnecessary items that we have? I don't know what that means. And then that really sticks in my crawl. That really sticks in my crawl is a saying. Is that a medical term? I don't even have one of those. I don't know. But some expressions about time, which is our focus this morning. You are young and you have all the time in the world. Have you heard that? You have plenty of time to get serious about God and about Christ's bride, the church. Sayings about time, neither of which are true. In sports, they talk about every second counts. And with football, you get down to the 2-minute warning. And if the closest game, I've heard commentators say, oh, for that quarterback, they're down by 6 points, but they have 2 minutes. For that quarterback to get down and score and win, that's a lifetime for him. That's an eternity for him. Crazy sayings, which are not true. Time is flying by. Time stands still for no one. Time goes faster as you get older. Actually, time does not go faster as we get older. It's just that we forgot where we put our watch. And when we find it 3 hours later, we're surprised at 3 hours. We think time went by faster, but just that we couldn't find our watch. Time flies when you're having fun. You've heard of that one, right? Well, there's a biblical saying about time and opportunities, which is our focus this morning. Let's read Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 together. What does the Bible say about time? What are the sayings in the Bible about time? That's what interests us. Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and this morning we're focusing just on one phrase. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside in redeeming the time. That's a phrase that impacts us, catches our attention this morning, redeeming the time. And let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you that we can meet together. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping and worshiping, studying together, praying, giving offerings, caring for one another, sharing with one another. Thank you. Thank you for this special time that we have, that's afforded to us even several times a week here in our schedule. We pray for New Life and some of the other churches in Peru and South America. They still are not afforded this privilege due to COVID. A year and a half later, they are still not meeting in person. They are still meeting online. And we pray that you will bless those efforts. We pray that you will bless those online services. But we thank you, Father, that we can meet together this morning. Pray that you will direct us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Time. One chapter at a time, we are writing our life story. One chapter at a time, we can't change it. We can't go back and edit it. We can't delete it. We've done what we've done, or we've not done what we've not done, but we've written those chapters. There's no going back to grade school. There's no going back to high school, to college, the first years of marriage. When children were small in the house, there's no going back to that. There's no editing. There's no changing. There's no deleting. How did we use our time? How are we using our time? There are no changes. I think of the stages of life. Nicole here, newly born. And then we go up through the toddler stage, and time is marching on. And even as children, the Bible says, even as children, we can be known for someone who loves the Lord and who prays and just loves to be with the family of God, even as children. And we go through grade school, we get to high school, in time of sports and other activities, newly married, what new stage of life. And then the children come, and now we have our small children and toddlers in grade school, and as they get older. And eventually we get to what we call middle age, and we do crazy things like hunting bears with knives and spears and stuff, and do crazy things at middle age. And time marches on, right? And then you realize, you look at your siblings, and they're not those 12 or 16-year-old kids that they were. You realize that none of us are, and time is marching on. Can't change it, can't delete it, can't edit it. Time. How did we use our time? How are we using our time? How are we taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given us? for marriage and family and friends and ministry and so forth. Come to the grandparent stage. The grandparent stage, and then you have grandchildren. And then you get to the point where you have great-grandchildren, right? And this thing called time. Simple definition, every moment that has ever been or ever will be, time is a system of measuring duration, a period of history, age, era, life, a set period or term, a percent or designated moment or period of time, time, seconds, minutes, weeks, months, time marches on. Here in Colossians 4, our focus is about redeeming the time. It's interesting, this word time is the word kairos. It's not the word chronos. There's at least two Greek words for time. There's chronos and kairos. This is kairos. When I say chronos, what would you think of? Chronology, right? Lloyd's at the track meet and you got a stopwatch, or at the recent Olympics, right? And And they're measured down to what? A tenth of a second? A hundredth of a second? And that's chronos. A hundredth of a second, a thousandth of a second, a tenth of a second, and time, seconds and minutes. Well, we do want to use time wisely, we do, but how do you plan out every second of the day? See, you can't. Not that we want to waste time, but you can't plan out every second of the day. First of all, we sleep about 8 hours of the day, right? Some six, some seven, some eight, and some nine. But okay, so we sleep a third of the day. So how do you make the most of every second of those 8 hours? Now, sleeping is part of God's plan. It's important. It does honor Him because it's part of His plan. But you can't necessarily make the most out of every second in life. We sleep a third of the day. How many seconds do you program to eat? And some people eat faster than others. And how many seconds and minutes do you program to be with your spouse or with your children or to do this or the other? So we don't want to waste time, but on the other hand, it's not really possible to program every second of the day. How many minutes does a husband and wife need at the end of the day to catch up with each other? How was your day? Well, a man needs about 2 minutes. How was your day, honey? How did it go? Fine. Tell me about your day. Got up, went to work, finished work, came home, and now I'm talking to you. Tell me more. Well, I had lunch. What'd you have for lunch? Well, you ought to know. You made me peanut butter sandwich. You made it for me. A husband needs 2 minutes to talk about the day sometimes. And how many minutes does a wife need to talk about her day? So you can't fully program every chronos, every second of the day. Although we don't want to waste time, but we need time. We need time to rest. We need time for vacation. We need time to sleep. We need time to eat. We need time to connect. We need time with our spouse. We need time with our children, our grandchildren. We have to work, and we need time for ministry. We need time. So we want to use our time well, but you can't program every chronos, every second. Interesting here, therefore, the word is kairos. The idea is time, season, opportunity. A definite time period or a window of opportunity. Not merely chronos, a succession of minutes. Kind of the idea here is of taking advantage of every season. The Bible talks about speaking the word, preaching the word in season and out of season. The idea of opportunity, I think that helps us here to think about make good use of every opportunity. Every opportunity. Redeeming, and this is the phrase that we're focusing in on this morning, redeeming the time. Redeeming the moments. Let's think of moments and opportunities that are before us. And I believe that that's more the idea here of this Greek term. Take advantage, redeem the moments that we have in life and the opportunities that we have in life to use those wisely to build up and reach out. And for the different things that the Bible says that we should dedicate our time to. Redeeming here, the idea of to rescue, buy, to ransom, to buy back, to buy up time or use wisely for one's use, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing that which is right and good, and that God would have us fit into our daily and weekly schedule. Not allow the suitable moments and opportunities to pass us by unheeded, but to make them one's own. The idea of making the most of our time, making the most of the moments that we have and the opportunities that we have. Rescue from loss, wasted time, a loss of time. Take advantage of time, take advantage of opportunities and moments that God gives us. And so to fit into our schedule those things that God would have us fit in the schedule. And how long for each of those things will vary. But opportunities. Was 2020 a lost year? In Peru and much of South America, we were closed down the whole year. Peru closed its borders on March 15th. The international borders remained closed for about 6 or 7 months. And then when they open up again, it was hard to get back into the country. Movements were restricted. There was a home quarantine lockdown for approximately 6 months, starting in March. No one over 65 was allowed to leave home, basically speaking, over 65, unless a medical emergency, for 6 months. Not step foot out of the door. For 6 months. No one under 12 could step foot out of the door for approximately 6 months. 6 months of total lockdown. I think of Paul and Nicole and the two grandchildren there, very small apartment, bouncing off the walls, not seeing the day of light, and being locked down for almost 6 months, not setting foot outside of their apartment for 6 months. One person, one adult could go out, and you had to wear a couple of masks and sometimes a shield. Some people wore gloves. You went to the store. You had to maintain 5-6 feet of distance between. They had a floor mat there everywhere that you would go, the grocery store, the drugstore, the bank. And in the first months, that was all you could do, the grocery store, the bank, the drugstore. Some jobs were kept open. I don't really fully understand today how they did that, but a lot of jobs were shut down. But when you went out, the one person, you were allowed out for about 2 hours, and with all of the mask and everything, and you get to the store, and you had to wipe your feet in an alcohol mix on the floor. They took your temperature. They put gel on your hands, mask everything, stay away from everybody, do your business, and go home within 2 hours. In some cases, you had to go online and get a permission. What are you doing? I'm going to the doctor's appointment. From what time? 3 to 5. Going to the grocery store from 9 to 11. Had to print it out and carry it on you. And if the police caught you without that, you were in big trouble. And if you exceeded the 2 hours, you were in big trouble. And that was people's lives for about 6 months. And even afterwards, it continued. And then little by little, they could go out a little bit and still wear masks and maintain distance and stay away from people. No public meetings. As I mentioned, till today, New Life Baptist Church still, and many churches still have no public meetings. This is a year and a half later. It's still online. Pastor Paul and the team hope to have on-site church meetings starting in September. And when they do, probably not a lot of people will come at first because they're afraid to mix with other people and they've been isolated and people are still getting sick and dying there. And so even when they do open, we probably won't have many people, but still, it'll be a great step forward, right? To, after about a year and a half, have on-site services again. And so 2020, all of 22, was 2020 a wasted year as far as time goes? And taking advantage of the opportunities and worshiping and studying and so forth. No, it was not a lost year. If anybody knows that time is short, it is God. God knows time is short. He knows our time is short. In James, it talks about life is like a what? It's like a vapor. It's like a mist. It's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. If anybody knows that time and opportunities to build up and reach out is short, it's God. God does not make us waste time. What happens is our circumstances change. And so with his help and wisdom, we find ways to adjust to our new circumstances. But still the goal is Colossians 4, redeeming the time, making the most of every moment and opportunity in any way that we can. And God afforded us a new method which we take advantage of, and that is online, Facebook and Zoom and other methods. So early on at New Life, they picked up with Zoom and Facebook for church services and continued on with their services and added an extra prayer time, the midweek Bible study, and they found a way to do the children's Sunday school online and found a way to do the youth service and the young married and the older married and the different services and ministries that they've been doing and found a way to do it online. And God gave them wisdom and directed. No, 2020 was not a lost year. There never is a lost year. God does not make us lose time. God does not make us waste time. But when our circumstances change with his wisdom and help, we have to find new ways to take advantage of the opportunities. We need to seek new opportunities. And very interesting, because on the online services, we began to get people to attend the services in Arequipa from different parts of Peru and even from Ecuador and from other countries. So in some ways, the ministries were expanded via online. No, it's not lost time. It's not wasted time when our circumstances change. Or another point in that God does not make us lose time, when we're waiting for the next step to take place. We have some teammates that are looking to get to Chile and getting to Peru and get to Chile and different countries. And right now they're not issuing visas. And so they're in the States ready to go and they can't get a visa and they can't get a visa and they can't get a visa. And so are they wasting time? Well, no, as long as we have this attitude that wherever we are and whatever the circumstances, God can help us find a way to take advantage of the moments and opportunities that are before us. And so when we're waiting for the next step in life, whether it's marriage or it's a new job or whether it's a move or, in their case, getting to the mission field, or some other next step, and it just isn't happening. It seems like we're stuck, and that we're just treading water. We're just kind of wasting time. No, if we have this biblical mentality. Whatever our circumstances, where God has us, he can give us wisdom to know how to use our time and seek out opportunities. And be wise to not lose opportunities and find new opportunities in new ways of creating opportunities, such as the virtual online method, which has been a great help to us across the world, and find new ways to seek opportunities. No, God does not cause us to waste time if we're waiting for the next step. He's still preparing that next step. He's still working in us in preparation for that next step, and he wants to use us where we currently are, and he wants us to invest our life and take advantage of the moments and opportunities where we are before he's going to open up that next door. But God does not cause us to waste time or lose time. If anybody knows time is short, it is God. We need to have the Colossians 4 mentality, that we want to buy up every opportunity and find new ways to reach out to people and build up and take advantage of opportunities, create opportunities, new opportunities. Satan knows that time is short. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour and hurt and discourage and beat down. He doesn't rest. He knows time is short. He knows opportunities to attack us and tempt us and discourage us are limited. He knows that. And so he's working hard. The creation seems to sense that time is short. don't fully understand it, but in Romans 8, it talks about creation groans and is awaiting its redemption and is waiting to be made anew when God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Creation seems to understand that in some sense. We're the problem as human beings. Do we understand that our opportunities with our children, with our spouse, with our parents, with neighbors, with friends, with the local body of Christ, with contacts, with people who don't know the Lord and neighbors, do we understand that our opportunities to build up and reach out are limited, that our time is short, and that we let opportunities pass us by to build up others and help them and reach out to people, that our time is short, opportunities are limited? We as human beings are the ones that struggle with that, not God, not the devil, not the creation. We do. And so here in Colossians 3, if we have the Colossians 4 mentality of redeeming the time and taking advantage of all of the moments and opportunities of things that God would want us to do according to his word, then chapter 3, please, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Our time focus, our chronos, but our kairos, our moment, our opportunities are limited. Take advantage of opportunities. Focus needs to be that we seek God above all things and seek Christ, where he's seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So priorities, perspective, time, moments, opportunities for our children, for our spouse, for our parents, for others. To be together with the church and to help each other and edify one another in a setting, in a family church setting. And opportunities and moments to reach out to others with a word or a virtual track or speak with them or share with them or do something and ask God to open up doors for us. And that is what Paul is saying in Colossians 4 in this passage. Verse 3. He talks about pray for us. Pray for us so that I could be a good kairos steward. A good moment opportunity person for the Lord steward. I want to be a good kairos steward of the moments and opportunities that come by my way. I'm feeling very limited, Paul says, in a sense. Where is Paul when he writes this? In jail. Do you remember his missionary journeys? Traveling all over Europe and Asia, free speech, spoke to one person, spoke to 10 people, spoke to 1,000 people. And man, that was his ministry. That was his ministry, these mission trips, and speaking and preaching in Athens and Corinth and all over the place. And now, he's in jail. I'm losing time here. I've got a guard by morning and I've got a guard by night. And that's it. Frustrated, discouraged. Why am I here? I've lost my ministry. I have no ministry. There's nothing to do. But no. He said, pray for me and pray for us in these new circumstances that God has permitted, me being in jail, in my contact with believers and those that don't know the Lord, very limited. Pray for me that I would be a good kairos steward. That I would create and see any moment, any opportunity. So I'll witness to the morning guard. I'll witness to the evening guard. I'll witness to anybody else. I'll sing out loud and pray like I did with Barnabas back when years ago when we were in Philippi in jail temporarily. And then when believers are able to visit us, I will edify them and vice versa. And other people come and I will witness. And you know another thing that he did to take advantage of his kairos time while he was in jail? What's another thing that he did to take advantage and make the most of these new circumstance moments that God gave him? We have these God-inspired epistles thousands of years later, 2,000 years later, that he wrote during that time in jail when his opportunities and his ministry was very limited, but he sought new forms and new methods and new ways to create opportunities and take advantage of opportunities to build up and reach out any way that he could. And here, he's saying, pray for us. Pray for me here in jail. And he says, verse 3, that God would open to us a door for the word, logos, to speak the word, that God would open more opportunities. Because when I was out on my missions trip, I had thousands of opportunities in a month's time. And now, pray for me. Pray that God would open doors for new opportunities. I feel very stuck. I feel very limited. Did he feel that he was wasting time treading water? But no, he was the one that wrote this, that we need to redeem, take advantage of these moments, these opportunities. And when God changes your circumstances from night to day, it's the same attitude of setting your affections on things above and seeking the Lord and creating and praying and asking God for wisdom and asking God to open new opportunities to build up and reach out. And he found them in jail. And he found them in jail, and he found them in jail in different ways. And then little by little, he had more freedom, and he had more contact with people. But he found them, and he prays for that. And God gave him wisdom, but he had the vision. Every moment, every opportunity. How, who, when, what form, what way. And as I said, we've been doing that, taking advantage of the virtual tools that we have, and more so in South America, because that's all we have is the virtual, until we can meet together again and take advantage of that. And we're doing our Bible college online. I taught a class last semester. Debbie's teaching a class to ladies this semester and taking advantage of Facebook and Zoom and those different things. Every moment, every opportunity, may God help us to do that. So we seek opportunities. We pray for opportunities. We pray for moments and ways to reach out to people when our circumstances are limited or changed. And there are new ways and opportunities and forms and methods to do things that weren't the same as the old way. And if we have this mentality, and with God's help, and we pray in his wisdom, we can find ways to minister. We can find ways to build up. We can find ways to reach out in our changed circumstances, whether it's the stage of life you're in, whether it's health limitations that God has permitted for you, whether it's a job change, it's a ministry change, whatever the circumstances are that have changed for you recently, this is it. We pray, we look, we seek, we ask God, and we find new methods and new opportunities and new ways to reach out, to build up, and reach out to people. May God help us do that. Make use of every opportunity to reach out, build up, learn, grow, seek God with all of your heart. And may God help us to do that. We get frustrated with the changes of circumstances. We get frustrated with the limitations that God allows upon us, whether it's ministry or health or a new stage of life or job or whatever. But just as we've seen in 2020 and 2021, we can still equally find moments and opportunities and take advantage of them for God's glory. May he give us wisdom. And that's why, as leaders, we are always looking for new forms and methods and ways to build up and reach out, because it creates new opportunities and new moments and new ways to build up and reach out. And we're always looking for that as leaders, and that's part of our ministry, is to do that. But may we do that as well. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Yes, redeeming the kairos, redeeming the opportunities, making the most of the opportunities, praying for open doors, praying for opportunities, seeking new forms, new methods, new opportunities to build up and reach out. And how can we, and what opportunities are there before us to say a word, to reach out? And is it physical? Is it virtual? Is it written? But there are ways, and we pray, Father, that you will help us not just to slide by, help us not to tread water, help us not to be discouraged with the new circumstances that you have allowed to come upon us, and be frustrated. But in those new circumstances, help us to find ways and opportunities to reach out and build up and make a mark for Jesus Christ and leave our fingerprints on people's lives and souls, albeit in a different way, a new light, a new way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Great reminder for us this morning. The parallel passage to the Colossians 4 is in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Adds that little phrase, because the days are evil. I think we'd all agree that we are living in evil days. It becomes so important that we use our time wisely, that we seek opportunities to bring glory to our Lord and Savior. Every one of us have that responsibility. As we get older, of course, I find myself anyway kind of looking back over my life and recognizing times that were wasted and determined to do better in the future. None of us have arrived. We all need to be evaluating our lives and how can I do better in the future. You know, as all of you know, I'm looking towards retirement here in the next 2 or 3 years, and I've told the deacons, pray for me, that I don't just coast to the end. I don't want to coast. I want to redeem the time. I want to make the most of the time that I have left as pastor here, and I just want to use that time wisely. And I think all of us need to be praying to that end, as Steve has encouraged us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word and its truths. It's so practical. Father, Steve has related your word to us this morning in a way that is very easily understood, the importance of using our time wisely, buying up those opportunities that you place before us. Sometimes, Father, we pray for opportunities when in reality we simply need to pray that we would see the opportunities that you're already giving us and that we would indeed buy those opportunities up. Thank you for this reminder this morning. May we continue to meditate upon these truths, examining our own lives as we leave this place this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Any questions for us, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Seek us out before you leave or give us a phone call. Those of you who are online, certainly you can call us. We'd be glad to help in any way that we can. We encourage you to stay for Sunday school beginning in just a few minutes at 11 o'clock. You're all welcome to stay for our Sunday school. Shall we stand? Father, again, we conclude this service in thanksgiving for allowing us to be here, but also asking you to guide us in our self-examination as we would continue to meditate upon your truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.